This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Outspoken. Thank you for joining us again. Now, it's been such an exciting week for us, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, we were really thrilled to be number one on the Apple podcast charts under the TV and film category.
I know, it was a bit of a surprise loading the Apple charts and seeing that. Well, actually, someone sent it to us, so it was a really nice surprise though.
Yeah, so thank you so much for everyone who did listen last week.
I love how people's mums just don't hold back. Like, our mum is the cutest mum out there. She's already been known to leave rather embarrassing / cute comments under our photos as it is.
With lots of emojis.
And she was so cute in sharing it. But it's so funny because anytime our mum puts up a post and refers to us, she calls us the outspoken girls, or with our business, the hula girls, as if her friends don't know that she's talking about her children. I just love it. I feel like everyone's parents does this though.
Definitely.
Well, we've also got some more exciting news this week. We are working behind the scenes on a new project, which is our Christmas podcast called A Very Outspoken Christmas.
I was going to say, Kate, I hope you're not pretending that we have some sort of secret project now. Now that we're like number one, we're throwing out secret projects.
Definitely not. It's not a secret project. We have actually put a discussion in our podcast community where we would love to hear your ideas on what you would like to hear on our Christmas podcast. We already have a lot of things going on behind the scenes about what we're going to talk about, but if you do have anything you think you would like us to discuss, please share. So last week we were discussing the fact that Sophie is contemplating getting an artificial Christmas tree, and we actually had some people send us some really great ideas about what sort of trees we should get. And one of the ideas was a tree from a place called Balsam Hill, which is the most amazing Christmas tree shop I've ever seen.
These Christmas trees are insane. They actually have lights built in them. And I think they range, I think the cheapest is about $600.
Yeah, I did die a little bit inside when I saw the prices because I was so excited because they have different styles of Christmas trees. So they've got like the Australian pine, and then they've got American style ones and English style trees. It was just, I've literally probably spent 4 hours on their website already.
Well, I think it's safe to say if we were still all living together, we would have bought one of these Christmas trees. But now we've got to factor in having boyfriends, and they don't seem really that keen in dropping a grand on a Christmas tree.
No, I feel like I'm going to have to pretend that I got it for free somehow if I was to purchase one. But Amy, it actually caused an argument in your household, didn't it?
Yeah, well, there was a little disagreement. Dale was outraged to think that anybody would pay $1,000 for a Christmas tree.
He did offer to go cut a tree down off his grandfather's property, didn't he,
instead? No, his poppy actually offered. He said we could pick any tree we wanted because he does have some Christmas trees. So it seems like that might be our stingy solution to a Christmas tree this year.
Well, it's pretty funny because Brandon thought he was being really generous by offering to put $100 towards the Christmas tree, and I hated to tell him that, you know, these are about $1,000, so that probably wouldn't be much input.
Can I just say though, it is a saving over a period of time because Christmas trees cost around $150 for a really nice real one.
And you want it for a long time.
Can I just say, what also blew my mind in this discussion was that some people in Australia didn't realise that there were real Christmas trees, the people who had them in their house.
So these are people in the Facebook community that were like actually from Brisbane saying, oh, does Australia actually have real Christmas trees?
They do, and they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Isn't it beautiful, Audrey?
She'll see it later, honey. Her eyes are frozen.
Over the weekend, influencer Abby Chatfield has come under fire for the release of her new podcast merch. Some followers criticise the ex-Bachelor contestant for not being inclusive enough with the sizing. The 25-year-old took to Instagram to explain that she's exhausted from the scrutiny and that everything she does not need to be taken with ill intent. Soph, can you explain to us what exactly happened?
Well, on Sunday, Abby Chatfield posted a photo to her Instagram to announce that her It's A Lot podcast merch had finally arrived. Now, this merchandise has been about 6 months in the making, and she decided to include some fun facts about the merchandise under the caption. So she stated that the sizes range from 6 to 16. Now, followers were very very quick to jump on in the comments section and say that the Rangers were not size inclusive. And Abby Chatfield is a quite outspoken feminist. She's all about body positivity, so people seem to expect more from this launch. And what really got her in hot water was that she did in fact label the sizes incorrectly. So she said that the sizes, as I said before, only went up to size 16 when they in fact did go up to a size 18.
I think there was some discussion around that the sizes could potentially fit sizes in the 20, but it was basically because the clothing is oversized.
Yeah, well, I think we've got to point out that Abby took this criticism with a lot of grace. She answered a lot of the criticism on her Insta stories, and she took the time to explain her reasoning. And she explained that it's very expensive to make merchandise that is ethically sourced and sustainable for all sizes. So she went through a business that's called Merch Girls, who have a strong focus on creating sustainable clothing. And I did a bit of research into them. And it's really interesting because they are actually industry leaders in sustainable clothing, and they produce fabric which is made from recycled bottles. They don't include any plastics in their postal systems, and they are a creative agency. They don't just slap a logo on things, which we're seeing with a lot of influencers' merchandise. So they really do design clothes that people intend on keeping for a long time. So Abby explained that when she met with the girls, she said she wanted to produce items that were oversized and exaggerated so that they could fit a broader range of sizes. So she did attempt for the clothing to fit a wide range of people.
Well, a lot of people have taken offense to the fact that they are oversized, because they're saying, well, these clothes are meant to look oversized, and if I'm a size 20 and I'm wearing an oversized 16, it's not having the same look that it's meant to. What do you guys think about the fact that they are oversized?
Well, we've just got to preface that we are privileged, as we fit standard sizing and we don't struggle to find clothing in our size in stores. So it is really hard to put myself in the shoes of someone that does struggle finding clothes, because I do feel with Abby that a lot of people were expecting big things from her. They were expecting her to be completely inclusive. I mean, she did have a poll on her Facebook group that is now closed, asking women to let her know what size they were so that they could be included.
Well, she did explain in that Facebook post that she only had enough money to pay for 5 different sizes, and that is because they are ethically sourced. It costs $5,000 to produce every different range of sizing. So that's $25,000 of her own money she's putting towards it. So if we take a look at the poll, for us, the size 10 was the most sought after size, and that had 530 votes. We then go to a size 16, which had 103 votes. A size 18 had 70 votes. Then if we get into the other sizes, sizes like 22 had 11 votes, size 24 had 6 votes, size 28 had 3 votes. So you can really see that she did take a look at her audience and who would be actually purchasing the gear.
And from a business perspective, it makes no sense to invest $5,000 into a size that there haven't been over 100 people who've said they actually want the clothing.
It's interesting you say that, because I think it does make sense, say, from a business perspective. But I think when your brand is inclusivity and that you are very body positive, then it is a part of your business strategy.
But she has come out and said that after this merch drop, she will be reinvesting the money and she'll be able to buy more sizes. And I think we've got to remember, she is one person. There's been a demand for merch, and she's had to buy all this merchandise with her own money.
But I suppose the argument is, though, well, then why did you invest in the extra small rather than investing in an extra, extra large? Like, I think there's sort of, you know, saying from the different scales.
Well, in saying that, the size 6, that had more votes than one of the larger sizes. Well,
yeah, I know, but I feel like that's sort of more on the extreme of less people are going to be a size 6.
But $5,000 is a lot of money to invest in each sizing.
Well, could she
if you're going to have all of these clothes left over, if only 3 people have voted and said, hey, I want this particular size, then that's really difficult.
Could she have done a pre-purchase system so then she could have actually come back and said, hey, well, look, there's just not the demand for
I think that's what she was doing through the poll pretty much.
Well, I've done a little research into it, and when you do order clothing from overseas, there is a minimum order, and it's often really large.
Well, it's a large order because obviously if you're buying more things that they give them to you at a cheaper price for each item.
I think it's something crazy, though. I think it's sometimes 1,000 items that you have to buy. And as we said, if there's only 3 people who've said they want the size, she's in a really difficult position.
Well, I think we should also look at the fact that she was criticized for the sizing system. Now, one follower wrote in and said that brands need to be more conscious of calling someone who is a size 14 to 16 extra large. So Abby's sizing system had extra small to extra large. So she put it out there to her followers, and Abby said, what is a wording that can be less offensive? And she put out there that she has been privileged that her size is accepted in society. So one follower recommended that she uses A, B, C, D, and even has, you know, A is for amazing, B is for beautiful. What do you think of this sizing chart?
I'm sorry, but if she came out and said, hey, I've got these clothes and the sizing's A, B, C, D, like, what is it, a bra? Like, I'm sorry, no one would know what those sizes are.
It's very confusing and...
It's a load of wank.
It is a bit of... It is a load of wank.
But, like, it's another thing to have a go at her. Why aren't we having a go at some of the big retailers? But also,
this is what fashion houses do. This is how they label sizes.
It's a standard sizing. I mean, don't have a go at her. Maybe have a go at the industry that is implementing that as the regular sizing. It's. I feel it's kind of harsh because we're all... I mean, I do know because Abby's brand is inclusivity, I can see how she is copping a bit of heat about not having an abundance of sizes because I think it's really a breakdown in communication. I think expectations were high that she would be offering these sizes. And I suppose when it came out that she didn't have the sizes, people got pissed off.
Can I just ask a question? Is it actually the people who intended to buy her merch that can't find the size? Are they the actual people that are having a go? Or is it just this constant stream of trolls who probably have their sizes available? They don't even want to buy the clothes, but they just want to have another go at
it. I think everyone's very angry at the moment and wants to have a go at someone.
It's a very baby woke thing, I think, that people are wanting to have a disagreement about it and point and cancel her.
But there's some major brands who don't even go up to a size 18, which is appalling.
I think the issue is that it is Abby Chatfield, and because she is a feminist and she has stood up for so many different things, people expect a lot more from her. Whereas, for example, if it was a podcast, say like Life Uncut or So Dramatic, I don't think people would be cracking the shits as much.
Well, in saying that, you can't platform about being inclusive of all people and then not expect to get a bit of flack for not being inclusive.
To Abby's credit, though, she has given statements about it. She's apologized. She said, look, next time I'll do better. And once I've got some more funding, I'll be able to deliver the different sizes that are needed.
She was very open to constructive criticism and she's taken all of the things on board. And I definitely think that there was no intention of malice or no nastiness involved when she came up with the idea. She was actually asked by followers to come up with the merch. And I also think we've got to take our hat off to her for the fact that she has supplied an ethically produced merchandise. I mean,
exactly.
There's so many people that she could have just slapped a name on any old crap and brought out every size possible.
I actually felt so sorry for her because on Sunday night she was putting out Insta stories and she just looked so deflated and drained and upset. And because she has copped it over the past 6 months. She has copped it well and truly.
Someone who raised a really great point is Kate Parrott. She has 23,000 followers on Instagram and she speaks a lot about body positivity. So I think anyone who wants to check out her Insta story should go and have a look because she shared brands that do provide inclusive clothing. And it was really interesting to have a look at what sizes they went up to. And she was really fair. She said that she didn't think that Abby had any malice and that the issue she had was just don't call it inclusive. Don't pretend it's something it's not. And she said that the whole issue is that we should really be pointing our finger towards these large brands instead of one individual. And she raised the issue that there's a greater systemic issue about what we accept as a normal size here and that Abby has good intentions in bringing that to light, but just probably not the funds to do it at the moment.
Well, one of those big brands is Zara, and they've been in the spotlight because a TV personality in the UK, she called them out and basically said that their sizing was incredibly dangerous. So she's about a size 8 to 10, and she bought a large cardigan, and she bought it large because she wanted it to be oversized. And when it came, it fit her perfectly. And she said, this is just dangerous. We're labeling a size 8 to 10 as large. And there was another influencer who also had a go at Zara because she did a fashion haul. And she bought a size large shorts and she's a 12.
Well, that's the thing.
And they didn't fit. And she said, what are people who are bigger than her thinking when they can't even fit into an extra large?
But it does, like, you know, even being a size, as we said, that are so privileged to be able to go into the stores and purchase clothing in our size very easily, there is so much fluctuations between what sizes actually are. I know with Country Road, they're kind of the opposite. They go right down to extra, extra, extra small is like a size 8.
It's the same with Sports Girl as well. It just needs to be more consistency with sizing in general.
Just to wrap it up, I really wish people would focus more on the influencer's intent. I think that Abby Chatfield has done so many good things in trying to make her brand sustainable and inclusive as possible to her budget. Obviously, there are things that she could have done better, but there was no malice involved at all.
It's Sky Marie Wheatley.
Despite a string of controversies, Big Brother housemate turned influencer Skye Wheatley is yet to be cancelled. Instead, her following and brand deals continue to surge. On Sunday, Skye caused even more controversy. Sophie, can you tell us exactly what happened?
Well, I have to say, I was really disturbed by these photos. She posted a series of throwback photos to when she was incredibly tanned. And when I say incredibly tanned, it was actually shocking.
It made me feel sick. It actually made my skin hurt looking at how tanned she was.
Yeah, so the first photo she posted of herself, she pointed out that, gee, that mustn't have been good for my skin. And then in the second, she said, yeah, that tan is something else. So it was, for someone who hasn't followed her journey, it was very confusing as to whether she was simply glamorizing her tan or saying that it was bad.
And some of her followers actually hit back at her and said, why are you promoting tanning? And then she's like, what? What are you talking about?
Well, another interesting comment was that someone asked, how did you get that tanned? And I thought it was very unethical for her to actually go into specific detail about how she created that tan. She spoke about how she used a solarium every day for 20 minutes at a time.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just so scary when melanoma is so prevalent in Australia. I did see a stat that solarium use increases your chances of getting melanoma by 60%.
Also, some people have said she's actually a natural redhead, and your chances of getting melanoma are far increased if that is the case as well. So she is just being ridiculous.
Well, what was stranger was that she obviously got an influx of messages saying, why are you promoting tanning culture? And as you touched on, she did hit back saying, no, I wear sun cream every day, and followed that up with a photograph of herself sunbaking but with sun cream on.
I feel like she doesn't actually understand that there is no safe form of sunbaking. Like, you're just not meant to sit and in the sun and get tanned. Like, that is dangerous for your skin. Well, this isn't the first time she's caused a controversy like this. She has literally been involved in so many controversies, and it doesn't seem to affect her following at all. She has over 660,000 followers on Instagram. I just couldn't believe that.
Well, this is just one of her controversies. Kate, can you talk us through some of her other misdemeanors?
I was pretty shocked when I was doing the research on these, because there are just so many. So basically, one that got really quite a lot of attention was back in July 2019, when she said that she lacked empathy for women that were involved in domestic violence situations. So she said, I actually really do lack empathy with certain things. Like, I lack empathy for people who bring shit situations into their own lives. For example, if a girl is with a guy that beats her and she's in a position that she can leave but doesn't, and she stays in the relationship, I don't feel sorry for those types of girls because they're bringing it on themselves. I'm not going to feel sorry for someone who is literally creating their own reality. And like, people who try to be victims are just like, poor me, poor me. Make something of your life. I don't know. I believe that we all create our own reality. So
I remember seeing this in the vlog, and it was this really random rant that she did in the car, and I just thought, wow, she's gonna get in a lot of trouble.
Like, I don't understand. Does she just not watch any of her vision back? Because it's literally like not edited at all.
She mustn't, because sometimes there's the same clip twice, I've noticed. Like, it's like she's just thrown the clips in and press publish.
Well, someone actually, like, she needs a PR manager who actually watches the videos back before she hits upload, because it's just so dangerous. Well, in addition to these terrible comments about domestic violence, Skye also lost her license drink driving in 2018. It doesn't seem like she really learns, because it wasn't the first time she'd lost her license drunk driving. She also did in 2013.
Well, even earlier this year, she was involved in what was deemed as an insensitive photo shoot down a toilet paper aisle with her son.
I mean, that one was kind of, you know, not probably the least offensive ones, but I mean, at the time when it was in the height of all that panic, it was pretty bad. I think the worst are the racist things that she has said. So she claims that she made a joke, and they were talking about the paternity of her baby, and she asked Lockie how he would react if she gave birth to a chocolate baby. She went on to say, I'm not racist, and that she loves people regardless of whether they are tanned, caramel or albino.
Well, there were also issues around her latest campaign for her loungewear line. She tried to do the right thing. She tried to get some models that were different ethnicities, but it was so obvious that that's what she was doing. So she shared a post on Instagram saying, hey, we've just had some models drop out. Does anybody know any Chinese or Japanese models that could be involved? And I'm sorry, it just came across as so tone deaf.
It doesn't sadly end there. In another vlog, she spoke about the streaky tan that she had on her hands. And she said, "I apologize. I'm not a naturally tanned Aboriginal. I wish I was, but unfortunately I'm not."
Do you think it's because people don't actually expect that much from Skye that she just gets away with these comments?
I definitely think it's down to the fact, you know, we first came across Skye when she was 18 on Big Brother. And let's be honest, she was portrayed as a ditzy blonde. And she's continued that image across her social media channels.
I think the core is that she is quite a likable person. And I think that the narrative is she isn't intelligent enough to be speaking on these issues. And maybe it's a mistake that she's saying these things.
I think everyone's known a Skye. Like, you've always had a girl at school that's a bit like Skye. And you've kind of, you know, they say something stupid and you just sort of laugh it off because you know they don't have the intelligence to understand how offensive something that they've actually said.
We were talking about intent in the previous topic. Yeah. Do you think that she is intending to be offensive?
I was going to say, I don't think she is at all. I think that she just speaks before she thinks, and that there's actually no harm behind the comments that she's making, but it's happening time and time again.
Well, I think there is harm. I think some of the racist comments were very offensive, and while she might not mean harm, I think that she's got to understand that she has a platform of over 500,000 people and that she is of a great influence to other people. So when she's spurting all this stupid shit, a lot of people are going to be like, take her on board. I mean, I could just see so many young people seeing those photos of Skye really tanned and thinking, oh, well, how am I going to do that? And she's given them the instructions of how to do it.
Look, the only thing that she's done quite well is she's probably put off a lot of people from having babies, like teen pregnancies, because she does well and truly document that that's a big task being a mum.
Well, so I think that was one good thing that she did, that she documented the first couple of weeks of having a newborn and was really raw and honest. But I do think that she needs to get someone in her team involved in editing her work, because she's just can't be trusted to put it up.
I don't watch them anymore. They're so boring. Oh, it's like, no, my house either. Improvement. It goes for like 2 hours because there's been no editing.
Well, just touching back onto the tanning controversy, I think that what is so dangerous, as you said, was the fact that she went through this step-by-step process. And I really hope that social media, or there's some policies in place that ban people from going into detail like this. It's just like with eating disorders. And even when people talk about suicide, it's banned from being able to go into this sort of level of detail.
Well, that's in the media. That's in the media. So maybe media laws need
social media.
Yeah, I was going to say social media needs to take on some of these laws.
I did have a look at Social Blade, which gives you a real insight into influencers' social analytics. And she did lose 65 followers on Sunday. However, it seems across the last 2 years, her social media platform has stayed very steady. She seems to just continue to gain followers, which really surprised me.
You guys don't know what it's for yet, right?
No, they don't. I made them guess. I'm making, seeing if anyone can guess it. Some people have.
Oh, shit.
Let's get into our influencer wrap. And I'm going to kick this one off with a little bit of tea that our OG listeners will enjoy. So I was having a listen to Tully Smythe's podcast. Now, Tully Smythe is an ex-Big Brother contestant. Her podcast is called Too Much Tully. And she interviewed Shameless's old manager, Jen Day.
What's her best friend?
Her best friend. And the episode, for anyone who wants to check it out, is called Mixing Business with Pleasure. And for those who don't know, Jen runs an influencer management company which specializes in managing podcast talent. And for those who haven't been longtime listeners, we had a bit of a run-in with Jen after we discussed Shameless on a podcast back in May.
We'll link that podcast in the show notes for anyone that wants to have a listen.
So the podcast episode was called Space for All of Us. Now, Jen infamously gave us a 1-star rating in her own name after we spoke about Shameless,
who she was managing at the time. So it was very bad PR for everyone involved.
What really piqued my interest in this episode is that Tully asked Jen whether she had any nightmare clients on her books. And she did this after she introduced the fact that Jen worked with the likes of Shameless, Sarah Davison, and Flex Mami. So we're going to put in a grab of what Jen replied.
I'm not going to name names, but I think the whole, like, I don't know, scope of the job is it's a bit of a marriage. Like, it has to work based on personality types, and it has to be a fit of values and core beliefs and everything. So I think that if people don't align with my personality and my values, like, then maybe it can be a bit of a nightmare pairing. And we've had a little bit of that sometimes where it's like, cool, clearly on different pages, let's call that a day. And I kind of have like a no asshole policy. Like, life's too short to spend time working with people you don't get along with. It's just not worth it.
Wow. She did not hold back, which is surprising considering how high profile her clients actually are.
What's surprising is she's had two high profile podcasts which have left her recently. So it's a bit odd for her to be making these comments so publicly.
Yeah, well, for those who don't know, this comes after Shameless parted ways with Jen in late July, announcing that they have a new in-house partnership and sponsorship manager called Rhiannon, and also hugely successful business podcast She's on the Money also parted ways with Jen a little bit earlier in the year. So it is really interesting that Jen would speak out that she apparently has asshole clients and people that she doesn't want to work with anymore.
The timing, as you say, is very strange considering those two high-profile clients have just left her. It seems like she's pretty dirty on them.
And can I just say, you know, knowing people in the industry, those clients are not assholes.
Well, it's highly unprofessional, even if you aren't specifically naming who they are. When you've got a high-profile list of people that you work with and that are on your website, it doesn't take a genius to figure out who she's talking about. And I think she's really thrown these women under the bus because, as you say, from all reports, they are absolutely lovely to work with.
It's very strange to alienate yourself against two of the biggest podcasts in the country, considering how well connected those people are.
Well, I think it's also interesting to look at the fact that she specializes in podcast talent management, yet two of the largest podcasts in Australia have chosen to part ways with her. So no wonder she's dirty on it.
And from what I've heard, Jen takes a 30% cut from all of the sponsorship she brings in, whereas most agents only take 20%. So you can see why people might have left.
Well, we're not going to go into the details about why these two podcasts left because we don't actually know. I mean, I do find it very interesting that she left our podcast a one-star review, which then got a lot of negative attention to Shameless and herself. And then Shameless did make the decision to move on, which I think was a really clever move from them.
I mean, for the record, just to drop a bit more tea, Shameless actually apologized to us for Jen's behavior. So it was pretty clear that that behavior was Jen's and not theirs.
And it's not their place to apologize for the behavior of their manager.
I suppose
it is. They do employ her, but I think it was big of them to apologize.
You'd think that the apology would come from Jen herself first, and that never came.
Especially, like, you know, you guys have your own PR company. She has worked in PR. It's just something that you do, even if you don't mean it.
Yeah. Can I just say, though, I did enjoy hearing more about her career in PR, and it was really interesting because I think that it's clear that she is a very intelligent person.
Oh, there's no doubting that. She has done amazing things, and she's obviously seen a gap in the market that she has now become really successful from.
And maybe just don't call your old clients assholes.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Maybe think it, but just don't say it on a podcast.
I think the issue is that because she was on a podcast with Tully, who is her best friend, perhaps they got a bit silly. You know, when you get too comfortable and you forget this is going to be recorded. Do you know what? That's probably my second Too Much Tully episode I've listened to. And I agree with the title. I think it's Too Much Tully. I could not believe some of the things they were saying.
It's a bit self-indulgent.
I actually enjoy it. Like
it's a roll your eyes kind of enjoyment.
Get
isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I did enjoy the podcast, and I hope you guys did enjoy the tea that we spilled then.
Well, talking about roll your eyes kind of enjoyment, I think that perfectly encapsulates my feelings towards the secret project announcement that we appreciated that we had on Friday.
Wow, wasn't this underwhelming?
Yeah, so for those wondering, influencer Madison Woolley and her sidekick / BFF, Caitlin Rodriguez.
Stylist?
No, well, I was going to say / loft housemate.
That's right.
Or roomie or whatever.
Yeah. So they made a big announcement that they are dropping a podcast.
What I loved about this announcement was the fact that they went out to Sydney Harbour to celebrate the announcement before the work's actually been done.
Yeah, it was quite bizarre. Madison's been dropping some clues about her project, and we all assumed it was some sort of fashion label or styling thing because it was all just based around a photo shoot that the pair did together.
I have to take my hats off. They were lovely photos, and it made me think we should probably take some more professional photos, but we are a year and a bit into our podcast.
Call us stupid, but I actually just like producing the podcast itself. I don't really like having photos taken. Yeah. But
well, they are influencers, so given that, they know how to take a good photo. But unfortunately, it seemed like they launched the photos and the fact they were doing the podcast, but there was no actual podcast to promote.
There's not even an indication of when the first episode is dropping. I saw one person commented saying, "Hey girls, really excited about the podcast. When is it coming out?" And they're like, "Turn notifications on. It will be out soon." When? Because I really want to listen to it.
I want to listen to it. It's called Girl Code, the podcast. And I'm very intrigued to hear what they'll actually talk about because on her vlog, she talks a lot about the groceries she's purchasing and the photo shoot she's doing.
Avocado toast.
So I'm actually really interested to find out more about her personality.
Well, to give a little bit of insight into what it's apparently going to be about. They said it's going to be navigating your 20s, life, sex, dating, business, and everything in between. And I do find that odd because we don't hear anything about Jonathan on the vlog.
I can't wait to hear what they've discovered in the 2 years that they've been in their 20s. It's going to be very interesting, isn't it?
I've got a call. I think they're going to try and do it like Call Her Daddy, the US podcast. But I feel like it's going to be Caitlin that's going to be sharing all the raunchy details.
I feel like Caitlin's going to be way more interesting to listen to. She sort of has a bit of pizzazz about her.
Well, the other thing that I don't care.
Well, yeah, she's the more, you know, she's the one with the pink the grungy hair, one. The grungy
well,
one.
Well, another good point that someone raised in our podcast community is the fact that they're trying to be relatable. They're trying to be like, yeah, let's navigate our 20s together. But, I mean, are they relatable?
No.
Is someone who's got, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers, lives in an expensive loft, you know, no real
doesn't work
life well, as experience.
I can't wait to hear how they've navigated that.
But also,
sounds tough.
But I would love if they actually spoke about what it was like being an influencer and how they negotiate deals and that side of business.
Well, they did say they were talking about business, so we really got to wait and see what they talk about.
So don't give them too many ideas. I feel like we've literally promoted Madison Woolley's podcast now.
Well, I feel like there's going to be a lot of hate listens. I'm going to be hate listening, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I will be. I will be very interested. And maybe I will have to turn notifications on to find out when the first episode drops.
We could be pleasantly surprised.
Do you know what?
Wait. I do hope Madison does pick up. I said that they should do a travel segment.
Now, I'm trying not to turn my nose up at anyone's follower count, but I am surprised that they've only gained 3,475 followers when Madison has 500,000 followers on her account. Is that because majority are men?
I think it's pretty reflective of her audience. I know that she takes beautiful photos, and I think a lot of people are interested in looking at her, but maybe not listening to her speak. Well, I found this next one pretty interesting. Nick Rushen, who is a Melbourne businessman, is actually vying for the position of Lord Mayor. And he has taken the interesting route of hiring influencers to promote his campaign. So he has got the likes of Steph Claire Smith's husband, Josh Miller, to help him on his campaign trail. What did everyone think of this?
It's bizarre, isn't it? Because I suppose we've seen it in the US election where influencers and celebrities jump on board to promote a candidate. But I think it's the first time we've really seen it in Australia. So I felt a little bit uncomfortable about it, to be honest.
Well, I did a bit of a deep dive into who the influencers were that were engaging with Nick Rushen's content. And of course, Steph Claire Smith had liked some posts, Olivia Rogers, Beck and Chris Judd, Nadia Bartel, Mitchell Orville, and then some Bachelor alumni, including Florence, Tim, and Cam Cranley, as well as Nick Giannopoulos, the Wog Boy, which was a bit of a random one.
Well, apart from him, I feel like it's kind of very much the cool kids of Instagram that are putting their support behind him. It kind of feels like this elitist group of people.
It really does. It feels like we're in high school and it's a popularity contest and everyone's like, oh, vote for my friend.
Well, earlier in September, MSN reported that Nick Rushen was called upon by senior people within the Liberal Party who asked him to run for Lord Mayor of Melbourne. So he was approached to run. Well, so is it the Liberal Party who has created this idea of getting these influencers?
Sounds like
or is it because...
Well, it's good marketing.
Because as you said, Nick Rushen, his wife is an influencer. So they would know that she was very well connected.
But that being said, what I find a confusing tactic is, yes, I think it's clever to get well-known people involved. But at the same time, I think that these people only reach a certain demographic of people. So they're very much targeted at young people. And they're kind of missing out the older demographic who aren't going to vote for them.
Well, the whole campaign is focused on the slogan, Bring Back Melbourne. And in the campaign video, Nick is driving around Melbourne CBD and looking at all the restaurants that are closed and leased. And he talks about how badly the coronavirus has impacted small businesses. And of course, that is a very important thing to focus on, getting those businesses back. But it's not the only thing.
Well, that's what I'm really confused about. I don't actually know what are his policies or values outside the realm of small business and the entertainment industry.
Yeah, it's literally clubs and restaurants and hairdressing and the gym, which I'm sorry, but it seems very self-serving to him and his influencer friends.
But what about the health industry and hospitals and people's lives? Like, I understand that the lockdowns are incredibly difficult on people's mental health. I can completely see that, especially being a small business owner myself. I completely sympathize for those who are out of business for so long and might not be able to get back out there. But I feel like people's health is still paramount.
Well, there's so many different things that they need to focus on, not just small business. I suppose one thing that's going to be really interesting to see is if influencers have an impact in real time and real life.
Scary being new, isn't it?
It's a bit.
The way the kids all threaten to beat you up and call your names like briefcase wanker.
Oh, it's not been like that.
No, it wasn't for me either.
Let's get into the reality wrap. Now, the first story that got our attention is the fact that The Apprentice is back.
I am so excited. So The Celebrity Apprentice will be airing in 2021, which is a bit disappointing. But still, they've unveiled the cast and there are some really great people in the cast. Not to mention the fact that Alan Sugars, who is on the English version of the show, will be the boss.
He's great. I'm kind of sad though, because Mark Boris, he was a bit of an old hottie, wasn't he?
Oh my gosh.
Well, he's got a podcast you can listen to, I think.
Alan Sugars is great. I love the UK Apprentice. And as you mentioned, the cast is so good. So the Veronicas are going to be appearing.
Well, I'm wondering, are they appearing as one person? Because they've been listed one person, which I think is ridiculous.
Offensive as a triplet.
Yeah. Well, so some of the noteworthy people include Michelle Bridges, Martha from Maths, Anthony Kalia, and really, I don't really care about all the other people, but I'm so excited for Anthony Kalia. I'm wondering because he's been so entertaining on social media during the lockdown that has anything to do with the decision to cast him.
Well, this is incredible casting by Channel 9, and I feel like Channel 10 should be taking note of this because they have casted the Bachelorette series.
Well, talking about The Bachelor, it has been the worst rating series in Bachelor history.
Is anyone surprised? I mean, as soon as I saw the ad for it, I knew it was going to be
oh
shit.
Oh my God, can I say, I caught up on it. And that whole first episode was just like, oh, there's two of you. Yeah, we're both competing this year. Like, it was the same thing.
Look, I actually, you know what? Becky and Ellie are actually really lovely girls. But
I don't care if they're lovely or not.
No,
they're
but
boring.
I'm just saying, yes, they are boring. I felt so sorry for Becky throughout that whole. Because
no one gave
it was
shit about
obvious
it.
Oh, okay. That everyone was just interested in Ellie. And it's all come out on different, you know, the So Dramatic podcast and in all these different magazines, basically that no one was interested. Everyone thought apparently that Becky was Ellie's mum. I mean,
it shows how random the casting was.
I just think this whole concept has not been well thought out at all. At least in New Zealand, it was like they started with one and then there was this whole thing where they brought out another and then it made guys have to choose. It's literally like, who wants to go with her? Who wants to go? Like, it's not even exciting. But there's no point of it.
But they've even said on Life Uncut before the episode aired that they don't fight over anyone, that they were there to both find love. It's like, that's the only reason for you to argue. If they cast the three of us and we were single, my God, we would be fighting over probably the same person.
Oh my gosh, sorry. Talking about Life Uncut, I bloody love that podcast. How hilarious was it that Ellie revealed that she did a poo in a Chinese?
Well, it wasn't a takeaway container. It wasn't just a poo. She called it a grog bog, which I didn't realize was a thing until.
Really?
Yeah, I'd never heard that term before. Good on her. I actually found the whole thing hilarious. I mean, probably not great for the most eligible woman in Australia to be saying that she did a poo in her car.
Well, we were telling our cousins about it last night and we were trying to work out like the logistics of it. How did she actually poo in the container?
I actually have to put it out there. I probably would rather poo in my pants than poo in a container.
Well, that was
the
general consensus of this conversation that we had. Why would you not just poo in your pants? Because then you can you get out of the car. Like there's, you know, hopefully not a lot
it's
of mess.
Contained.
It's contained. And then you get a plastic bag and you throw away your pants and your underpants and you're done.
I don't know. There's something about saying that you pooed your pants.
But at least there's an accident level there. It's not, you've not purposely found a container, pooed in it.
And the fact that you're having to I was trying to imagine how, you know, she'd have to lift up on the car seat, put the container under. Like that would be worse. People like seeing passers by seeing this.
You know what? I want to put a poll in our Facebook community. So go to Outspoken, the podcast Facebook community, and we want you to vote. Is it worse to poo in a container in your car or poo in your pants?
Oh, God. Well, I think we should probably end the podcast there. Thank you so much. On that very high note. Thank you so much for joining us.
If you have enjoyed today's episode, it'd be great if you could tag where you're listening from, put up an Insta story and tag us at outspoken_the_podcast, or of course join our podcast community, which is Outspoken Podcast Community.